It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If, only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of What If. As always, tonight I've got Anthony DeMarco here with me to discuss this week's topic of what if WCW won the Monday Night Wars. Certainly a topic that could be combed through for hours and hours, but we'll give you the short and sweet of it to the best that we can. And Anthony, awesome to have you here. I'm really glad you selected this topic.
Yeah, it's been a topic that I've thought about, I'm sure like many have. But what kind of ripple effect it would have had? And I guess thinking back to it, and, you know, because of our difference in age, you could probably speak to this better than me. WWF really took over the Monday Night Wars in 1998, and they won on the backs of guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin and D-Generation X, or I guess it was more so in 1997. But do you think, first and foremost, had WCW won the Monday Night Wars, it would have meant that Steve Austin and D-Generation X would not have been a thing?
Well, here's where I'm defining the quote victory for WWF is the point when WWF bought WCW in 2001. So I guess in order to answer these questions, do you want to put the cutoff of when the victory would have happened in 2001?
Yeah, I guess that's more fair. So we just have a actual hard line to draw off because like you said, if we start playing even though the show is called What if we start going timeline by timeline, mm-hmm. we could go in 55 different directions.
Exactly. So just for everybody's really just being clear here, it is 2001 that we would have said, okay, WCW was the victor. So I mean, if this had happened, certainly it would have shaken the wrestling world to its foundation, just as WWF buying WCW. I think that it would have certainly been a different wrestling product as a whole today in 2021, 20 years later, rather. We would have been looking at this product going, oh my God, would Stone Cold Steve Austin have been Stone Cold Steve Austin, to answer your question? Yeah, I think he would have, because he was the hottest he ever was in 99, 2000 is really where he was the hottest he was ever. And yes, he missed a lot of 2000 because of his neck injury. But certainly, I think Stone Cold would have still had a legacy to look at and say that's a Hall of Fame legacy. He still would have had the boss, Vince McMahon, to work with, because that happened from 97 to 99 until it ended at Fully Loaded in 1999. This certainly would have been still – I don't think Stone Cold would have really lost too much. Austin would have had a couple more years, and WCW would have been absolutely foolish to let Stone Cold Steve Austin go. But the management of Stone Cold Steve Austin may have been much different in WCW.
Well, as we got into the Ruthless Aggression era, which was pretty much the post Monday Night Wars era in a lot of ways, and kind of like the victory years for WWF or WWE at that point, we saw stars like Batista and Orton and Brock and Cena all take off, and they all came from the OVW system. And I guess look at the WCW roster. At that point, later on, the NWO were getting older. I guess Goldberg would have stayed on top. Sting probably would have stayed on top as he went over to TNA and had a real nice run there. But do you think that there were any specific WCW characters that would have become a lot bigger had WCW stayed in power?
Mm. Well, if WCW... were the victor here, they stayed in power, that's a hell of a question. If WCW was the victor, I think that the people in talent anyway that would have benefited the most, you kind of threw a curveball at me there, only because I didn't watch WCW. I was a WWF guy, and I only got my big taste of WCW when they were part of the invasion. So when you look at it in reverse and say, okay, WWF would have invaded WCW, I mean, who would have really been a benefactor over there? I mean, you could still look at Hall and Nash. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because the biggest benefactor probably would have been some of the top stars, because the reason they didn't come to WWF is because they had guaranteed contracts that didn't expire for another year, so they weren't part of the invasion. If the invasion angle was the reverse, they wouldn't have had to worry about it and would have been a part of the whole invasion angle that was relatively panned by fans and saying, hey, this wasn't that great, in part due to the fact they didn't have those big stars. So I think you would have had those big stars from WCW. In WWF, I don't think there – I'm trying to think of a reason why you wouldn't have brought over the biggest stars possible to WCW. You would have Austin. Triple H was injured at the time, but eventually he would have made his way over. The Rock, once he got back from Hollywood, would have came over. So I think that still would have been the top stars. Hogan, Nash, Scott Hall, Ric Flair was still there. Sting probably would have eventually met The Undertaker in that environment. I really think that. I know that Vince and our Undertaker is very loyal to Vince, but I think you would have seen an Undertaker-Sting matchup. So as much as we would have, there was a lot of downside to this, and maybe we'll get to that. I think you would have seen matchups that we only could dream of happening right now in WWE.
And then I think about, like, what would have come in the aftermath, like, because following the invasion angle, they really ushered in the brand split, and they split the rosters down in half, like Raw and SmackDown. And WCW, if I remember correctly, their secondary show was Thunder. And I wonder if after the invasion angle was done and you had guys like Triple H and Taker and Kane and Austin, and I wonder if The Rock would have gone over, because just at that point he was starting to dip his toe into Hollywood. So I guess we could touch on that before we get into Thunder and Nitro. Do you think a guy like The Rock, who was really starting his transition to Hollywood, would have even gone to WCW at that point? Or do you think he would have jumped straight into Hollywood had WCW won?
I think he would have gone. It may not have been as long of a run. He may have gone back for kind of like a one and done, so to speak. And that's where I was bringing in Undertaker's loyalty and The Rock's loyalty to Vince. Like, I'm sure some guys would not wanted to have been in that environment of WCW that was very hectic backstage. Eric Bischoff kind of lost control in the last couple of years or so. The guaranteed contracts that the guys had made it so that the incentive of working harder and getting a bigger payday wasn't there, because they had guaranteed money. So why should I bust my ass when I know I'm going to get this money? I think The Rock would have come back. I think he would have felt like he owed the wrestling fans some kind of closure for his career, and to just take off in Hollywood and not come back, even though WCW bought WWF. I don't think that would have been good for his Hollywood career, because his wrestling fans, who were his foundation when he started in his movie career, a lot of the movies that he did, like The Rundown and Scorpion King in his early years, those numbers that he did that were doing well, a lot of it had to do because of his wrestling fans. And I think his wrestling fans did help him catapult into mainstream stardom, where even people that weren't fans of wrestling now obviously know who The Rock is, love The Rock. He's one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood now. But I think that he would have done a disservice to himself, even if he felt disloyal going there and kind of felt icky doing it, because he would have been a fool not to. Those are the people that were going to ultimately support him in his Hollywood career.
And you bring up Eric Bischoff, and I think he's one of the more underrated figures in professional wrestling over the last 25 years or so, specifically his on-screen role, the Raw GM, and obviously the heel manager on-screen persona that he was in WCW. But in a lot of ways, had WCW won, that would mean that he would have kind of become the Vince McMahon of the professional world, at least publicly, because obviously behind the scenes, he didn't actually own the company like Vince did. But do you think that nowadays we would have been looking back on Eric Bischoff as the Vince McMahon as we look at Vince now?
It would. So again, we have to look at this as saying, okay, all things are equal here, because there's 100 different scenarios and universes that we could go down in scenarios. So what I'm doing is looking at this in the lens of everything remained the same, except for the fact that the ratings were flip-flopped. So in other words, Eric Bischoff was still starting to deteriorate and lose control backstage. Hogan and Nash and all the big guys were really influencing their own characters or their own stories, not worried about other people and being extremely selfish, which is what, I mean, Eric Bischoff has admitted that. So again, everything is the same. You know, I think Eric Bischoff is being looked at as the Vince McMahon of our generation. If he had stayed, maybe. If he had left and kind of saw that, you know, his time was expiring and he kind of wanted to get out, which is what he seemed to want to do anyway, even if it wasn't a sinking ship, he seemed to kind of be burned out from everything I've listened to with Bischoff at that time. So again, if he didn't, if he stayed, if he was still the owner in 2021, I think there's a hell of a chance you'd look at this and go, man, Vince had something good going, but Bischoff did X, Y, and Z better. And you got to admit that he superseded Vince McMahon. So you could say he was a good parallel to Vince. You can't take anything away from Vince of being the first nationally televised pro wrestling event. He's the one that ended up taking wrestling mainstream. So he would be, I think people would look at Vince as the originator, but look at Bischoff as the guy that took that and built on that and you know, took that to the next level.
And then I look at another guy who I feel like made his best name post invasion angle as well, and that's Paul Heyman. And I know for maybe hardcore fans who were diehard ECW guys, and even back in WCW in the early 90s or whatever it was, they always loved him. But I guess for a guy like me, a bit younger, and I was more of a diehard WWF, WWE guy, Heyman, I feel like, has just become one of the most beloved managerial figures in the history of professional wrestling. And if we remember directly following the invasion angle, he came back as Brock's, I don't know if it was his advocate back then, but it was his manager. And then he was writing SmackDown backstage, and he came back as the on-screen SmackDown GM, had a cup of coffee when ECW came back, and now we know what he's done since 2012 and now with the Tribal Chief. But a guy like Eric Bischoff, do you think that he would have found his way back into WCW, a place where he actually started out? Or Paul Heyman, sorry.
Paul Heyman. I think he would have gone back to WCW?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably yes. You know, it's going to be hard for me to say no to any of your questions relating to would so-and-so have gone back to WCW. The reason I say that is when you look at this, if they were the only big game in town, like WWE was from, 2001 until 2019 when AEW sprung up, I think that with the only big game in town, regardless of what you really thought about management or the fact that you may be – you know, kind of being disloyal to Vince or what you believe in or whatever, if that's your craft and that's the only big game in town, you'd be kind of foolish to not at least give it a try. So I think almost anybody would have gone to WCW if the opportunity had presented itself, because that's the national stage. That's the big leagues, is WCW if WWF was bought out. So yeah, I think he would have. Now, again, you could go on 100 different ways of how they would have utilized Heyman. Would they have done it well? Who would he have been with? There are so many scenarios because, again, if 2001's the cutoff, well, Brock didn't come in until 2002. So who knows if Paul Heyman would have been with Brock? Who knows if Brock would have been Brock without Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman did such a damn good job doing what Brock couldn't, and that's cutting A++++ promos. So, again, so many avenues to go down. But, yeah, he would have been in WCW for sure.
Yeah, and then you think about what I was getting to earlier about Thunder and Nitro and if that would have taken the path of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. And, again, it's like you just said, like, you obviously have to consider that almost anything would have happened. But would it have paid off in such spades as, let's say, what WWE did? Like, we covered the brand split a couple of weeks ago. And you could make a serious case that it was one of the best decisions that they ever made in professional wrestling or sports entertainment in the eyes of Vince McMahon. And I just wonder, had WCW absorbed all the talent like Austin and Taker and Triple H and Kane and all these guys, had they had taken a similar road? And I think more and more we're seeing that you need two shows as a wrestling company. Now we have Rampage for AEW. So I guess, like, I look at how much success – the brand split has given WWE. And I look at what WCW could have maybe done, and I guess they would have had to go with two world champions, but who knows if they would have taken that approach as well. And I just look like, how would they have split the rosters? Like, would they have put all the WWF guys like on Thunder and then all the guys on Nitro from WCW? Would they have mixed them up eventually? Like, I just get to your point, because WCW was more of a hostile environment backstage, maybe there would have been more of a divide between the two company guys. What do you think?
Probably. I mean, I don't know how you don't do two shows with that big of a roster. Now, would they have absorbed every single person coming from WWF? No, I don't think they would have, nor did WWF absorb everyone from WCW. When you look past the invasion angle, I mean, it wasn't all hands on deck. They did not keep everybody very long. So I think they would have cherry-picked guys that they felt would have added to the product, and unfortunately for the rest of the guys and gals, it may have been a fend-for-yourself situation, maybe done, you know, some of them maybe have gone to, you know, the Indies or to Japan or wherever to find work and make a living. So I think with WCW, again, with absorbing everybody that they did, and they probably would have had a big influx of talent, even if they're cherry picking, they probably have a laundry list, especially in 2001 with an all-star roster. You are going to have a lot of names that you want on your on your team, so to speak. So you have to have two shows, as you said. I don't think that that is a just a thought. It's a necessity. You can't push everybody on the same show that, again, at that time was a two-hour Nitro. They would have definitely expanded Thunder for sure, or kind of repackaged that, who knows. But again, you also have the writers coming over from WWF, presumably the ones that they wanted to keep. You know, you have other individuals that would have contributed to the, you know, the push for, hey, let's get two shows so we can expose more talent, help build both brands, and be able to have a roster of all stars on both brands. Because again, 2001, you're still in the Attitude Era. You're just about to cross over into Ruthless Aggression. So yeah, no doubt you're going to have two brands, two shows with all stars on both shows.
Yeah. And then I look at, let's say, where the wrestling business would have gone, because it was what, 6 years after the WWF won the war, that they kind of started moving more PG. They went public how long after? They went public in what year, 2002?
I'd have to Google it. It is early 2000s, yeah.
And I think that them going public was a large factor in them eventually going away from PG-14 just to flat PG. And if you look at WCW, you know, they were backed by Time Warner. There would have been no need for them to have become a publicly traded company. And because of that, they probably would have had less and less shareholders to deal with, less and less sponsors to deal with. And if they were like the big dogs in town for, let's say, the succeeding 15 years after 2001, I wonder if the product would have stayed more PG-14 and edgy as we came to know and love it in the 90s. And I understand the WWE from a monetary perspective. It made all the sense in the world for them to go public and to get all these sponsors and whatnot and do make it more of a PG type of product and more of a family-oriented television show. But I just can't help but wonder that if in some way it would have been better for the wrestling industry, for guys like you and me, not the sports entertainment fans, the wrestling fans, if WCW would have won in that regard.
Maybe, you know, and it's possible. WCW's brand of wrestling was more wrestling heavy. They did have their sports, quote, sports entertainment-y stuff. They did, but it wasn't to the level that Vince used to push himself into the Attitude Era and really push the envelope into TV-14. So I think that given the fact that it was a more wrestling heavy company, they probably would have relied a little bit less on the hokey pokey stuff and been a little bit more wrestling based for sure. But again, you could argue, well, that's exactly the thing. One of the big things that helped Vince McMahon were the kind of those edgy storylines. You know, I don't think that's an argument that can't be made, but I looked, as far as you're going back to your question about when WWF went public, it was actually August 3rd of 1999. So,
oh, damn.
Yeah, that is actually when he first went public. I thought it was like 2000, 2001, but no. So he's been public for 22 years now. So I think we probably would have had some, like you mentioned, benefits, big benefits to having WCW win the war. I don't know if long term it would have been a good thing, because when you look at Ted Turner, the guy is – he's not a big, from what I understand, he's not a wrestling fan, or wasn't a big wrestling fan. He was in it for the money. He was in it to basically come in and think that this is a big cash cow and be able to just rake in cash week after week. And I don't think that he had the understanding that Vince McMahon had to be able to run a wrestling organization. Obviously, that panned out to be true. But I think the biggest problem and the biggest issue with WCW was management, was the day-to-day operations and creative. I think it was more behind the scenes necessarily than it was on camera, albeit WCW had the finger poke of doom and David Arquette as WCW world champion that was just critically panned, really bad moments for the industry. But as kind of circling back here, I'm getting to it. I think you would have had a different product in terms of focus more on wrestling, less on the hokey pokey crap.
And I look at what wrestler really embodies WCW, and you can make a case that it was any of the three guys from the NWO, Goldberg, Flair, but for me, it is, pardon me, and will always be Sting. And he was like the only guy that really held out and always was a defector from the WWF, WWE. And I know he came back for that just, you know, super underwhelming match against Triple H at WrestleMania 31. And then now he's back on the opposite side of the war, going with AEW. And I think that's something that hurts Sting's not reputability amongst the hardcore fans, because everyone knew who he was, but maybe more like public fans and casual fans, was the fact that he never really wrestled in his prime in WWE. He kind of went right over to Impact, which was never, or TNA back then, which was never really a serious threat to WWE. And, you know, Goldberg is still having his run in WWE. Ric Flair, both before and after, had good runs in WWE. Hogan, Nash, Hall, all those guys were originally WWE guys. So, and Booker T, you know, he made a name for himself in WWE. So I think, like, the only true blood WCW big star that was really hurt from WWE winning the war was Sting. So I guess, would he have been the guy that would have benefited the most of it out of that group of wrestlers? And do you think that he could have maybe reached the likes of Rock and Austin had WCW won the war?
Sting is one of the biggest tragedies and collateral damage of the whole buyout from WWF. So to answer your question, if it went the other way, Sting would have stayed in WCW. I don't have any doubt about that. He was the heart and soul of that product during that time. And he would have had, as I mentioned at the top of the show, matchups that you would have only dreamed about in WWF with Undertaker. I think Undertaker and Sting would have actually happened in that time frame. And yes, in 01, I believe he was the American Badass still, so you wouldn't want the American Badass versus Sting. You could have easily packaged Undertaker back to the Dead Man. So yeah, you would have had Dead Man Undertaker versus Sting, the matchup that never happened, and nor do I want it to ever happen now. People are still talking about it. I'm like, no, it's never, ever. It's unbelievable. So, but we would have gotten that, both guys in their prime. We probably would have also seen Stone Cold versus Goldberg, a match that, I mean, again, I just because of their intensity, both guys' intensity, obviously they're very similar look with the goatee and bald head. You would have had matchups that maybe even Stone Cold versus Hulk Hogan, the matchup that never happened, that again, a tragedy in and of itself. So I don't think it's necessarily all bad here or really all good that WWF bought WCW, because there's so many things that I think we would have missed out on if WCW had been able to be the victor. Again, I don't know about the long-term health. That's a topic that or discussion that you could have about the long-term sustainability of the organization because of lackluster management or whatever other cancers they had going on there. But Sting would have been looked at and regarded as a WCW legend, still is, but I think his career would have probably been even more illustrious had WCW survived and beaten WWF, because I think he would have been in front of the camera a lot longer and had other guys, top guys from WWF coming over he could work with.
On a side note, and it's completely unrelated to the topic that we're talking about right now, but talking about Goldberg back then and how awesome he was and how over he was, is it not just a downright tragedy how he is viewed nowadays?
I mean, this, yeah, it is a side bar, but my God, it's relevant because right now Goldberg is, and you're starting to finally see, and I said this on my show last night, that the fans are starting to finally, which is sad that it took this long, starting to turn on Goldberg saying, what are we doing here, right? Why are we having Goldberg automatically in championship matches that he's just by birthright being able to get in because he's Goldberg? And on top of it, he's having bad matches. I know, I appreciate the effort with Bobby Lashley that he tried to do more than just spear jackhammer. I get it, I appreciate it, but I don't want it because we know you're not capable of it, and I'm scared about the health and well-being of your opponent you're trying to perform it on. And it's just, it's a damn tragedy because I understand what Goldberg meant to do WCW. Hell, I even enjoyed his quick run when he came back in 2016 to face Brock Lesnar. That was fun for a little while, but he has way overstayed his welcome, like to the point where fans are, again, finally turning on him. And I cannot wait to hear the crowd reaction when Bobby Lashley and Goldberg get back in the ring, presumably again for the WWE championship. It's going to be beautiful to hear.
Yeah, and I guess as we, like, wrap it up here, and we stay away from Goldberg because, like, he is just such a stain right now on the product, and it really is truly sad. But I guess the big question for me would be, is, like, we know that post, let's say, Ruthless Aggression, guys like Orton and Cena, and to an extent Brock and Batista as well, really became the faces. And because they came from WWE's in developmental system in OVW, run by Jim Cornette at the time, if I'm not mistaken, I truly wonder if they would have ever become big, massive stars, or if WCW would have just continued to push the same old status quo guys like they notoriously did in the late 90s. So I guess just in closing here, do you think had WCW won, they would have run the risk of ruining the next generation as we came to know it? And do you think that in the end, they probably would just run themselves out of business?
I think exactly what you're saying would have happened. They would have been the reason that they didn't survive, unless they addressed the elephant in the room of, hey, we cannot have guys just because of their status try to influence their own creative at the expense of other guys being selfish in their creative. And again, Hogan, Nash, and Hall, among others that were just running roughshod over creative, doing what they wanted and so forth. So yeah, unless they address that, I think they would have been doomed. And the ratings would have fallen. People would have been, you know, frustrated with the company and their creative. So do I think John Cena would have become a big star? Do I think, you know, Batista and everybody else, that infamous class of OVW that came through in 2002, Randy Orton, I think they would have been, it's so hard to say, but I don't think that in their early years they would have been really recognized, particularly if we didn't have Paul Heyman come with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was a beast, but eventually he would have run into that ceiling of, hey, this guy needs to talk, and he can't. I mean, you have Randy Orton, what a third-generation superstar. I mean, you probably would have been able to run on that for a while, but I don't know. I mean, John Cena, I don't think they would have been at the level they are today if they were in that environment and it did not change. And so, no, I would have been concerned for them given how those top guys just didn't want their – they were very, very, I guess, territorial at that time, and rightfully so, but they did it to the detriment of other guys. And that's the problem that management allowed to happen. So, yeah, I would have been concerned for them. But I have a couple of questions for you before we really close it out too. Is, do you think Vince McMahon, given his ego, would have joined? Or do you think he would have bowed out and kind of just rode off into the sunset?
You know, I was going to bring that up too. But, like, here's the thing, is that if they had – because does the whole invasion angle kind of not tied directly hand in hand with the failure of the original XFL.
Yeah.
So, like, if had WWE lost to WCW, maybe he would have just gone completely balls deep into the XFL. And maybe the thing that really ruined the XFL, the inability to keep the Monday Night Raw guys away from the XFL product, maybe that wouldn't have been a thing, and maybe it would have succeeded. I think that he has such a disdain for Ted Turner and the way that they view wrestling, or viewed wrestling, because they don't exist anymore. But, like, I'll always remember the clip from Vince McMahon's documentary where he said Ted Turner called him and said, "Hey, Vince, I'm in the wrestling business too." And then Vince said, "Oh, well, that's funny, Ted, because I'm in the sports entertainment business." So I don't think I could have ever seen Vince going over there, because maybe you go and you offer him like a creative role, or maybe just an on-screen role. But to your point, his ego is just so massive that I just don't think he could be a part of something that he truly did not believe in, and something that he seeked out to destroy with all the territories in the 80s and 90s. So I truly think that had WCW law or beaten WWF, he would have just gone completely gung-ho down the football path.
His ego would not have allowed it. I think that Vince, because if he had come on the program, I think it would have been an acknowledgement of his loss. And Vince McMahon does not like to lose. I don't think we would have seen Vince McMahon on that on TV at all. He probably would have just, like you said, dove headfirst into XFL or another project and never shown his face there, because it would have been an acknowledgement of a loss. And that's not what Vince McMahon is, especially back in 2001. I mean, you could argue his, you know, kind of geriatric state now, maybe he doesn't even know. You could probably convince him at this point he's in, you know, obviously different mindset. But yeah, back then, hell no. The last question I wanted to ask you, and then I'll toss it to you if you have anything else. WrestleMania, do you think WrestleMania would have continued, or do you think WCW would have squashed that and put their own brand out there? Like, what do you think would have happened with WrestleMania?
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Like, what was WCW's WrestleMania pay-per-view? Like, do you recall at all?
Bash at the Beach? I mean, Starcade?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because doesn't WWE bring back Starcade every now and again as well? So, like, I mean, if they were smart, I think that they would have brought back WrestleMania, and that would have been like the final, you know, FU to Vince McMahon. Like, yeah, we're taking your biggest creation and, you know, deploying it on our programming and the way we run it. And the thing is that there were so many guys who became famous off of WrestleMania, like Hogan and Nash and Hall. And it would have been kind of like an even bigger victory lap for those guys to go back onto a, you know, a show or a platform that they helped create, but on WCW. But again, I guess it would have just come down to ego here. And I think it would have just been a slam dunk for them, but would have Ted Turner and all the other big shots behind the scene been okay with it? But I think in this particular instance, they would have, because WrestleMania was so massive at that time. And as we're talking about this now, like, we can't even name the WCW like big pay-per-view of the year. Like, I never watched TNA, but I still know that it was Slammiversary. But WCW, I never really knew. Or I think there was maybe the Royal Bash or something. I only know that from the Ready to Rumble movie, which the final match culminates at. I think it was something along those lines. But yeah, I think that if they were smart, they probably would have just taken it as a final big middle finger to Vince McMahon.
And not just a victory lap, but also I think it would have been foolish for them to squander a brand that has so much equity in it. The WWF did all the work, and now WCW is going to get all the spoils. It would have been really stupid of them, just out of pure ego, to squash it and say, no, we don't want anything WWF did in terms of their fingerprints on anything, and we don't want them to take credit for something that now we own and it's successful. You know, that would have been really stupid and short-sighted. So I think that WrestleMania would have survived if anybody had a couple of brain cells to rub together, because there was so much value in WrestleMania in 2001. You just come off WrestleMania, or just about to go into WrestleMania 17, the biggest WrestleMania arguably of all time, one of the best reviewed WrestleManias of all time, with The Rock in Austin and in Houston. So they would have been an absolute – I mean, you got to be an idiot to think that getting rid of WrestleMania just for pure ego standpoint was a good idea and not benefiting off of all of what the brand value, the brand name value and recognition of what WrestleMania is. It would have been absolutely stupid. So
do you remember the build up to WrestleMania 17, like how you felt going into that, how important it felt?
Hell yeah. I mean, the biggest thing for me, obviously, is the main event, but the video package of My Way with Limp Bizkit and Austin and Rock, regardless of what you like or hate Limp Bizkit, I don't care. It is one of the most iconic promo videos of all time. The sit-down interview with Jim Ross and Stone Cold in the locker room, one of the best of all time. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a fever pitch.
It's just so crazy to watch it back, and I would literally get butterflies when I watch it nowadays. But I mean, it just kind of tells you how big wrestling was at that time and just how damn good the WWF was. And it really makes you wonder or realize how far away WCW was behind the pack by the time 2000, 2001 came around. Because we're talking about if the ratings were flip-flopped and everything else was equal. But when you really think about it, that was just so damn unrealistic to really consider because of how good the WWF product was at that time.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, it's almost impossible to have everything else equal if the ratings are flipped. But just for discussion's sake about how many different variables there are with this discussion, I wanted to make sure that it was easier to follow. But yeah, I totally agree.
No, you're absolutely right, because as always, it's just so easy to go down different rabbit holes when you talk wrestling, so it's really good to set parameters right off the bat.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, well, this has been, as always, so much fun, and again, you could have like a part 2, part 3, part 4, part 10 to this about different aspects of what would happen if, not just high-level stuff, but diving into specifics, what if, like with WrestleMania, or what talents would have stayed, what talents would have gone, about the OVW class coming up, who would have been successful. There's just an entire, almost an infinite amount of topics that you could talk about, and I know we only barely scratched the surface on this one, but as always, it's been a blast.
Yeah, man, super lot of fun, as always, and we'll talk about something new next week.
Sounds good. You have a good night.
You too, man. Take it easy.
Bye.